Good evening.
Good evening.
It's great to be here with everyone tonight. I'm so glad that you've come and taken this time. This is Good Friday. It is perhaps the most sacred hour of the Christian year, the sacred worship service of the Christian year. It's a solemn service. In fact, someone before the service asked me a really good question. They said, why would you call it Good Friday if it's the service where we remember the death of Christ? The answer is, it's where the goodness of Christ came into our lives. It's where the goodness, the righteousness of Christ was imparted to us. And so we've come to celebrate that. And I'm aware of so many things that you could be doing. And that you are here is a wonderful testimony to your faith and to your love of Christ and your appreciation for all that he has done for us. Tonight will be a special service, an unusual service, in that it's more solemn. And so I'm going to ask you to hold your applause. The choir and those who are in the orchestra and all who will contribute tonight, those who will share our readings, they are here and they already know of our appreciation. And so we will not honor them in that way tonight, but we will honor them by the silence that we sit in and enjoy as we think about Christ's crucifixion. And now, if you would, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we ask you to watch over us, and we ask you to bless us with your presence and with your mercies. We pray that you would be with us on this holy night, and that you, O Lord, would bring your sanctity into the sanctuary, your holiness, your righteousness. Calm our hearts. Help us, O Lord, to lay aside all that distracts us. Help us now to be with you. We remember how you asked the disciples if they could not be with you simply for 1 hour in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so now we come to give you that hour. We come to be with you in this time. And we pray that as we ponder your journey to the cross and the cross itself and even your death, we would be reminded of the gift of our salvation in a new and a fresh way. Use all that have prepared this time for us. Use the music that will be shared, the songs that will be led, the readings that will be offered, the scripture that will be imparted. Use all of these things to bring us ever closer to you, so that in this way we may truly be in communion. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, two things before we begin. The ushers are asking me, you may have room. If you don't have room on your pew, don't worry about this, but some of you have some gaps. If you would move towards the center aisle, if you can move towards the center, again, don't feel like you need to compress or be too much, but if some of you have some gaps, that would just help the ushers. Undoubtedly, some folks will come in later. Then I would also remind you that if you're a guest tonight, we're so glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back and join us on Easter Sunday. You'll see those services on the back of the bulletin tonight. And now at this time, let us stand.
Thank you. After he finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who had betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to them, came out to them and said, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth." "I am he." Judas was standing there with him. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Jesus again said, "Who is it you want? Jesus of Nazareth. I have told you I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those that you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put away your sword. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the soldiers, with their commander and the Jewish officials, arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people.
Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was there warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Peter said this, an official nearby slapped him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow.
Thank you.
Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked them, "What charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." But Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone." This was said so that Jesus' words might be fulfilled, that he knew the kind of death that he would die. So Pilate went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would have fought to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then. You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate, and he went back out to the Jews who were gathered there. I find no basis for a charge against this man. But it is your custom that I release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted, no, not him. Give us Barabbas.
Thank you.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Look, here is the man." When the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Who are you?" he asked Jesus. "Where do you come from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to free Jesus, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" they shouted. "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
Thank you.
So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There, they crucified him. And with him, two others, one on either side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write, King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another, "but let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened so that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divided my clothes and cast lot for my garments." Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home.
Thank you.
later. Knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.